We now have a 3-hour BVS, a 2-hour and 10-minute Suicide Squad, and a 50-minute to maybe an hour DC movie news right now.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC movie news.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes.
Well, that was
a quick cut off.
That's all we can pay Ted Knight
for.
We
gotta get ready when Ted Knight says four greatest heroes and cut.
And he realized that there was no Roxy here. He's like, I'm not playing the rest of this.
I'm out.
Yeah.
Fryer's there. I'm out.
We out. Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us. DC Movie News right here on the Popcorn Talk Network. We got a full squad in here. We don't have Roxy Stryer. But to make up for it, we have four dudes. Does that make sense?
Ooh, sausage fest.
No. That's right. In honor of
the worst monsters here.
In conjunction with the
fest.
Sony Pictures release, Sausage Party, coming to theaters August 12th, I want to say.
Did you hear about how, I guess, before Finding Dory, whatever, they played the trailer, like one theater chain, and it flipped the kids out?
Worst movie theater ever.
Best movie theater ever.
Almost as bad as when I saw
WURST, my friend.
Hey-o.
All right. Well, hey, let's get cracking here. We are at DC Movies SK. We're facebook.com/DC Movies SK. Find me on Twitter at Jay Quasto. The man right there, he is a very talented actor in DC Encyclopedia. You know him, you love him, is Mikey Christmas.
Mikey Christmas.
Twitter at Mike Kalinowski. He's Mike Kalinowski.
That's right.
Well, this is a show that I feel vindicated on today, but we'll get to that.
I can't wait to get to
We'll get to that.
Cannot wait to get the guy next to him wearing the sweet doghouse shirt. He is the worst mocker. He's the host of Man vs. Child on FYI. He's the host of FX Movie Download on FX. Find him on Twitter at Adam Gertler, because he's Adam Gertler.
That's right, everybody. How's it going?
That's right. I just feel like
extra bro-y. There's so much pectoral going on this side of the table.
It's like trying not to.
Very broad man.
Really
feeling a little.
Batman.
Yes. Yes. Yes, Robin.
We are very broad on this side of the table.
It is.
It's true.
It's going to flip over. Yes, that's right. Man vs. Child came back last night. It was an Americana episode. It was very exciting.
Congratulations.
I was like watching it on Twitter with people. It was kind of fun.
So now season two is ahead.
Season two is ahead. Yes. It is. Excellent. Welcome. Happy to hear and talk DC. I've been reading lots of comics and stuff, too.
It's been a good week.
It's been a strong week.
Speaking of strong, we have a first-time guest. Of course, Roxy Stryer is back home in Boston. I don't know if she's visiting family or working, maybe doing a little bit of
both. She's not posting any pictures. I'm a little disappointed. I thought she's on vacation. All I've seen her picture of her is like a kid dressed up as Princess Leia.
Well, I mean,
what's her enjoying with her family?
But here's the thing, though. When you're really having fun, you don't want to post anything. You're just like, I'm having fun.
A millennial like her,
I mean,
she's got that phone attached to
her. I hope she's good. It was very ominous the way she was just like, I'm going home.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Weird.
Well, she's back east. Find her on Twitter at Roxy Stryer because we miss her. So go tell her how much you
miss her. Send Roxy love. Everyone, tweet Roxy lots of love.
But the man next to me, he is a coordinator at Fox Sports. That's how we met, because the Wrestling of Padre Slamcast debuted on Fox Sports this week. We started talking DC. He's like, hey, man, I'd love to do your show sometime. I said, well, guess what? No Roxy. Insert Adam Sloan.
Boom!
Find him on Twitter at Adam J. Sloan. He's also a DC Encyclopedia from the Hand. He's from Michigan, y'all. He's from Michigan.
Oh.
We're in the Hand.
Farmington Hills, about right there.
Okay.
My best friend's from Farmington Hills, Michigan, I swear.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, he grew up there. My best friend, Farmington Hills. Anyway.
There you go.
And hey, before we get cracking, guys, I want to give a shout out. As you know, our amazing profile picture of all of us.
Oh, yes.
That was done.
So cool.
Yeah, that was done by Ricky Middlesworth, one of the greatest photographers we know. Well,
he's very talented, Ricky Middlesworth.
So talented. He is in a contest right now to win a trip to Comic-Con. It's a cosplay contest. So go to our Twitter right now. It's one of our most recent tweets.
Yeah.
All you got to do is click on that link and vote for Ricky Middlesworth as Captain Boomerang, and we want to help send him to
Joker.
Comic-Con.
He did Joker, too.
Right, but the main link we're going for is Captain Boomerang.
Okay.
There's a lot of Jokers out there.
It's a great-looking Captain Boomerang. And Ricky, I say this with no derision, it looks like Captain Boomerang, in addition to that beer, maybe had like a little heroin bender on the side.
Yeah. I gotta say this, Ricky's a good looking guy, but he looks fucked up in that picture.
He does.
He hugged himself up, but it's great.
Yo, he's amazing.
It's really good.
So guys, go to our Twitter, look at that tweet, click on the link, and vote for Ricky right now. We want to send him.
Buddy. Do it right now, guys.
Yes.
Now.
And Ricky, I'm working. I got my bat suit working, buddy. We got to do a photo shoot, you and I, man, with those pictures. Those look fantastic. So once I get my suit done, we got to get a picture.
We are the Adam Twins, and we command you right now. Form of an ice cube.
Hey, and our old friend Density Dennis just got cast as Batman in a fan series called DC Universe Clash of the Two Leagues. Awesome.
What am I hitting there?
Way to go, Dennis.
Hey, did anybody see Batman versus Godzilla?
No.
What? I actually did. It was an animated something or other that someone did on YouTube, and it's featuring Godzilla.
The new version.
Yeah, the new version versus the new version of The Dark Knight.
Okay. No. And then with a cameo from Kal-El at the end, which to me makes a lot more sense. He should be fighting.
It does.
Ooh, boy.
Okay.
All right. Well, look, we got to get to a lot of stuff. Let's get into it.
I'm ready.
Here's the deal, guys. BVS Ultimate Cut. It's
dropped.
Out. Yes. It dropped in theaters. It's available to the public. Every one of you saw it. I think we just go down the line. Mm-hmm. Let's time it at a minute each for a comment, and then we'll bring it around to a round table. Okay. Mikey looks like he's chomping at the bit.
I'm eyeballing every camera here because those of you guys out there that, like me, supported this film 4 months ago, we are vindicated. We are vindicated because the film is there. We knew it was great. We knew there were problems, but we knew because the 3-hour cut was coming out. We knew it was coming out. We knew. We supported Snyder from the beginning. We supported all the entire thing, so we are vindicated. The internet over the past 2 days has been kissing Snyder's ass. Right? The memes have been coming up of him with that gun shooting all the things. We are vindicated. We are in good hands. We are moving that ship forward. We're now going to have course correction for some things maybe. It's fantastic. That director's cut. Every time I saw a new scene, I was just like, why wasn't this in the film?
Yeah.
Even the shot of Martha's face with the gun, it's like, why?
I did hear the rumor. Because my question was, why was there the deleted scene that we saw a couple of months ago with supposedly, I guess, Steppenwolf? Yeah. Why was that cut?
Communion.
Yeah. Why was that cut? And rumor is because they didn't know at the time who was going to be the villain in Justice League, so they left it out.
I don't believe that.
That script was written so long ago.
This movie... BVS was but why, gonna be released
why would they leave
year?
That out? That scene to me was pretty pivotal.
Well, just maybe out of context.
Yeah, because at this point you're like 2.5 hours in, 3 hours. You're like, what else is? Who is this now?
Well, then you get Lex Luthor at the end of it, who is apparently crazed and. And you don't even know where that's coming from until you see the communion scene. You're like, oh, that's why. Mm-hmm. Because he's being talked to by either Darkseid or Steppenwolf.
There you go. So that's Mikey's comments. I think we know how he feels. Adam Gertler.
Okay. Not quite as enthusiastic as Mikey, but that's to be expected. I was also... I was falling under, like, 50% of, like, liking the film before. There's a lot that's fixed in this version. My biggest, absolute biggest problem with the film was the mistreatment of one of my all-time favorite fictional characters, that of Superman. Hmm. I really, really thought it was, and if you listen to all the things we said, it was my biggest problem.
Right.
And that had the most repair done in this version.
Okay.
So that, I have to be very pleased. Just because we see Clark being Clark, one of the biggest things I thought... That Senate scene when it was the Capitol building?
Yeah.
Right, when it blew up, it was so, so heavy and so dark. I didn't enjoy it dark.
No.
And I also thought, how does Superman let this happen? How does he not at least move in lightning speed to try to save someone or save someone? And they just wasn't there. And then here it was. And then here we see that the wheelchair was lead.
Yes.
This is important information.
Very.
This is information that serves to repair the character, which I thought was really disserviced.
Just like the little things of why he's in Gotham when he's sitting there and he crashes his car into him. He's there for a reason.
But let me have my minute.
Go.
But I will say, Martha still bothers me, but when you have a list of things that bother you... When the list is greater, it just becomes another thing to nitpick. Mm-hmm. When there's fewer things that bother you, those things bother you less. I said that I gave Civil War a lot of leeway because overall, you enjoy it. And you tend to give things leeway and go with it when you're having a good time. Lex, for me, improved, still not loving, just because it's a very different take on Lex. I've never known Lex Luthor to have all these, like, tics and be, like, so lunatic-like, you know? And it's just a very different take. I know some people want to say, oh, he's the real Lex Luthor's son. No. This is the Lex Luthor that's supposed to be Superman's arch nemesis. So Luthor, for me, goes from maybe a 4 to a 6.
Okay.
Martha, still not a great way to get them to stop fighting. But I also think there was so much more in the film that gives them reason to fight. Yeah. There's a lot more that builds up to why they're so against each other. So I think it's much
I know there's
better.
Something involving a wheelchair you guys mentioned, right? I didn't get a chance to see it yet.
Just the fact that the wheelchair was an implement of explosion.
Yes.
It's the thing that blew up that they kind of try to make it look like this guy was a terrorist. And you're like, how does... It just feels like there's an eternity going by where this woman's staring at a jar of piss. That guy's hanging there. Superman's just hanging out.
I thought that was a nice touch, though.
But the scene before where... her aide tells her, is like, Lex set this all up. So when she finally sees him, she's like, what you been up to, Lex? It makes so much more sense.
A lot of little things make a lot more sense. And a lot of quick shots. Yeah. And overall, much better. Like, I enjoyed myself watching it. I look forward to watching it again.
Okay. Yeah. Adam Sloan.
Well, mostly the thing that bothered me the most in the original cut was the fact that, you know, during the final scene of the movie, they're fighting Doomsday. Everything's going on. All of a sudden, I hear a knock and stop everything and go get Lois?
Oh.
Come on. Man. Like, in the middle of everything, all you do is hear a knock in the middle of the greatest battle. Yeah.
He does stop everything for her.
He does.
He does stop several times.
Several.
But she's his world.
Wait, was there more Doomsday in this, too?
That whole final scene seemed the same.
It seemed the exact same.
But I just noticed the part where he checks out the Superman statue, and I read online that that was analogous to a moment
throws him through it. Maybe that wasn't
there. It was in the original cut. When Doomsday looks at it,
when he looks at the statue,
that was in the cut. Yeah,
all right. But I got to say, the instance of Lex Luthor, I still didn't love him. But at the same time, I can understand where his character's coming from now because of the scenes that were added back in.
Okay.
It almost seems like he was, from the beginning, in charge. And even when things didn't go his way, he planned it that way. Like, there were little smiles that he gave. Like, the whole inviting Clark to the banquet to interview.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wanted Bruce and Clark
there. Africa stuff.
The instance of learning that Lex, you know, wrote the letters.
And the fact that...
You let your family
die.
The
African woman. Like the whole with her,
the actress,
kill
the fact
her.
That she was lying.
And then the guy
that goes to add to saving Superman.
But also, that Batman gets branded. The guy, that guy, his whole story.
Yeah,
we never saw the instance of why the brand was even there.
Do you guys still hate that Jimmy Olsen was just squandered like that? I just feel like that.
I liked it because when they did the New 52, they gave Jimmy Olsen a new identity, which was working in the CIA. So this was a great way for them to implement that.
But then to just kill him off like that.
Was he really doing anything in the story?
Well, but I mean, I just feel like it was weird to not even let anybody else have a chance to do something.
The thing
with
that bothers me.
He's a major character. He's had his own title.
The thing that bothers me is. He's not been in the Man of Steel reboot series.
What bothers me is, and if this was true, is the fact that they possibly had. What's his name? God damn it, I can't think of. Who played Lex Luthor? Jesse Eisenberg.
Yes.
Read for the role of Jimmy Olsen. He scoffed at it, and then they moved him in as Lex, just knowing that we could have had Bryan Cranston. As Lex Luthor.
See, I think that Bryan Cranston Lex Luthor bit comes from, he was bald during Breaking Bad when they were casting. Everyone looks at, who's bald right now in Hollywood? So they put him up there.
He would have been amazing. He would have been amazing, because he wouldn't have played it like all twitchy like that.
There was actually a fan trailer with him in it, mixing
but
all the other shows.
I
loved it.
I don't think you could have done this script with him as Lex.
For a minute, imagine, okay, because the big thing about Lex Luthor to me, and again, I get... doing a new take. But to me, the big thing about Lex Luthor is that he has this amazing public face.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so devious that Superman can't even... He's pulling his Kryptonian hair out all the time because he can't even prove it. I see Cranston playing that two-facedness so much because Walter White is such a good guy on the surface and where he eventually goes to. And Jesse is twitchy and weird in front of everyone.
Yeah.
So it's just, listen, it's just a different take. I get it. I personally, not my cup of tea. I know a lot of people really love it, and I don't want to tell them they're wrong for liking it or not, but I'm just saying, for me, what's cool about Lex is that, I mean, I love the whole thing that he manages to become president. Like, what a great, you know, analogy for world politics that is, that, like, this arch nemesis becomes president, you know? So...
And now the instance of the Ultimate Edition that you just reminded me of, the fact that we know where Lex is going now. He's going to Arkham Asylum.
That's kind
of
cool.
He's being relocated to the one place where he'll be around every other DC rogue.
Does it bother you guys that he knows that Bruce Wayne is Batman?
No.
No.
Okay. Does that pose a narrative problem, like... that he can use that at any time. I know they did put something in the Ultimate Cut where he's like, no one will ever believe me now because I'm a psychopath.
Yeah,
which I appreciate they at least put that in. But for me, it's just like, Lex Luthor knows he's Batman. Like, he could get that out there really easily.
The only way I can see this going south is if some way or another DC does the Legion of Doom or anything else and he becomes involved with the other rogues, because that would be the only way they would know that he's Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
I have a question. Is the ending still similar, where the bell has been rung?
And
it's okay. A lot of people wanted to hear ping ping instead of ding ding for mother boxes.
That ending is so ominous.
But I'll tell you this. Here's the other thing about the ending. It really got me emotionally more because I cared about Superman more.
You do?
Yeah.
Because there's so much more, because he's being Clark, he's being Superman. Like
going to Gotham to cover the football game, but he's really there undercover looking for Batman and getting all that.
Yeah, do you remember so that insane. When they first started filming this movie, the first scene they shot was that football thing?
Yeah.
And that wasn't even in the original cut. And then it was like
I will say, the two things that not bug me, but I don't understand why it was R-rated. There's a little more blood.
Mm-hmm.
The F-bomb,
which people get,
And that bothered me, so I was like, okay, you didn't need to be R-rated, but Jenna Malone wasted. Her character, very important.
Is she in the Ultimate Coach?
Yes, she is. She's a star. She's a star.
She's got some important information in there,
too. She's a Star Labs scientist.
I want to see it.
From the comics, that character. But it was a red herring to have a famous actress in this throwaway role. You know the guy that Lex is with the kryptonite saying, we took it to the body and we, you know, this and that was odd. Mm-hmm. Just some regular actor. Mm-hmm. That's what the Star Labs actor should have been. Not Jenna Malone. By saying this is Jenna Malone, we all thought, who is she in this world?
She's not a Star Labs scientist. Carrie Kelly?
It's just she. Her information, her two scenes are very important.
Yeah. So there's no shot of her being
the
Barbara
blood. Somebody pointed out that the blood makes it an R, which is true. Like, they'll show a lot of violence in films, but as soon as that results in blood, for some reason, is weird that on TV, unlike Walking Dead, that
guts
and everything else is
a
fine.
Cool shot when he
zombie
shoots
blood is
the
different.
Grappling hook into the box and flings the box to the guy, and the guy gets smashed.
Oh, that was awesome.
Blood hit. And a trail down the walls. Like, that's cool. But could have been, didn't need to be in there.
Still like watching Batman kick ass in that one scene, though. I mean, just watching that.
Did he stab him in the first one?
He stabbed him, but he didn't come back and punch him.
That's what it was. That was just brutal.
The way he's using physics, you know what I mean? Like,
slamming the guy over the box while jumping it.
It's wild.
When I saw it in the theaters, this did not, when he leaves Alfred, I'm going to war with this guy. That's the end we see of Alfred. And then at the end, he's just like on the computer. But this, Alfred was listening the whole time, and it made sense because he's like, I don't deserve you, Alfred. He's like, no, you don't. So like, he stood with him, even though he disagreed. I was like,
what about the part when he said, he's not our enemy, Alfred says, and then Bruce Wayne says, not yet. Was the not yet in the original cut as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, a lot of people are saying, why wasn't this film in the original theatrical release? Yep. And it goes back to an interview Zack Snyder did with Collider back in March. I'll give you an exact quote. We can discuss this. He said, when you get over 2.5 hours, the studio starts getting nervous. I'm not James Cameron, who's like, no, it's 3 hours. Suck it. Which is cool, by the way. I just wanted to try and get it to a length that is workable. So, because I remember I asked you guys the same question this week in a text. I said, why couldn't they just make it 3 hours from the start? But, of course, the answer is because studios freak out. They think it's too long.
It's weird because someone else pointed out that all the Warner Brothers Tolkien films are about 3 hours.
Yeah.
Right. But that's not... You don't have kids going, Mom, I got to go around and see Bilbo Baggins or, Frodo.
Here's what I think would happen. This is my theory. This is not substantiated by anything. I think that they had a plan for the film, and then I think, per the studio, they had to introduce more elements. Mm-hmm. I don't think Wonder Woman was in the first cut of the film, and I think that there were...
Do you mean the first draft of the script?
The first draft of the script, originally. Okay. And I think that, per the studio, they needed to introduce a lot of these Justice League elements.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's blame to go all around. Like, I think that they should have known that you got to know that when you're starting to make a film, that it's going to be a half hour difference. I mean, to me, it's the fault of WB for not letting him release that cut, but it's also, it shouldn't have been that long. It should have been a great, solid 2.5 hour movie, and if you ask me what you cut from this film, I don't know. That's not my job.
Well, here's a perfect example. Ron Burgundy, the first movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They shot so much, they had enough to shoot to edit a second movie. These movies, they always shoot... Every filmmaker wants 4 hour film. Hell yeah, they do. It's like... But I think they made the film, they go, we like what we got here, but... We can't show this many screenings. It's R-rated. I'll tell you, let us edit it to 2.5 hours, but Zach, we will give you your 3-hour cut. We'll fully finish all the effects for everything.
Right.
And we knew this movie was coming out weeks before BBS came out. We knew they were going to get this director's cut.
But of course, we did not I'm sure they did not expect the response that the public gave the 2.5 hour BBS.
Here's the thing. Oh, yeah. When they cut... And I guarantee this is per the studio, too. And please, chat roll, tell me if you agree or not. The studio wanted more Batman than Superman, so it really threw the balance off.
The whole movie was.
And it really hurt Superman. Because, again, when you have less of Superman, you have more of grimdark Superman.
It killed him.
And then you have that Injustice sequence where he's straight out a villain.
Yeah.
That was wonderful.
So it's just made more time of really bad Superman, less Clark Kent, and it just... I would love to know what I would have thought if I had never seen the original, because this is all in hindsight.
Yeah, right.
What would it give me, my virgin eyes, a snap on Collider
that said he wishes... he could burn the theatrical and only show this.
Could you imagine what your thought would have been? I imagine, what was the Rotten Tomatoes in the theatrical? Like
38%.
38%. Can you imagine what it would have been?
I don't know, just because... When you hear 3 hours, that turns people off automatically.
Yeah.
For us, we don't care.
Yeah.
I'll see a four-hour Batman movie. For the But general public, it's when they hear 3 hours, they were complaining that it was long, the first one. Mm-hmm. And but I will say this. Remember we had Eisenberg and Iron saying... well, the film that you saw, there wasn't, you know, they were talking kind of not bad about it, but going, it wasn't, because they saw the 3 hour, that's what they made, and their few performances were added by those scenes. So it all lends to, and to me, from now on, the ultimate cut, that is the film.
Do you think this will, because, and there are some people, I know even people in the chat roll, fans of us, that still are not crazy about the film, but I know a lot of fans have turned around. Do you think that will help? Because the fans are really the groundswell which gets the broader public excited for the future
films. I think what's helping this past couple days with Twitter, not just the film being good and fixing a lot of stuff, but it's we have a Geoff Johns now.
Right.
We have DC Rebirth. DC is killing Marvel in the comics world right now.
It's wonderful.
The amount of reorders and order forms that they just post every week, Marvel is failing, and DC is dominating comics.
Well, it's funny because Marvel, we won't have to get to this already, but Marvel took a nice shot at DC, which we'll get to eventually. Interesting question here from Marcelino Ribeiro in chat roll for you guys.
Hyperion.
Here we go. Here's a question. The Flash, the Bruce scene, the Lois warning. Do you think there will be a time travel to save Supes, then Lois dies, then that makes Supes go bananas on Batman for letting his world die?
I think they're going to avoid what that future is, because he knows now.
It's kind of hard to avoid the future in this sense, because the Flash wouldn't have been able to come back to that timeline if it was, you know, an alternate
universe.
Time
travel is so rough, though.
It's so rough. But at the same time, it's really interesting to see how they were brought the Nightmare Batman in with all the parademons. What Superman logos on him? So is Superman under the influence of Steppenwolf or Darkseid? Or is he just flat out pissed that maybe Lois went for Bruce?
I just watched before we came here, and I was trying to listen to what the Flash tells Bruce. And
listen to me now.
But he says the Lois is the key.
Yeah. Right.
Because it almost seems like his four different thoughts are so different. Is Lois the key to bringing him back to life? Like, because we don't know that, so I'm like, because we have no idea how he's coming back. And is Lois, because Lois is the key.
You still don't know how he had the nightmare sequence. Like, how is he having that vision?
I'm wondering if that was a dream or if that was actually what we were supposed to
see.
It can't
be a dream, because how is he creating apocalypse stuff in a dream, out of nowhere? Yeah. So it has to be a premonition.
This is what makes me think that this was the Flash's future before he came back through that stupid Speed Force portal and stood there and saying, listen to me now, you got to find us.
Yeah.
You got to figure at some point Bruce sends him back, helps construct that extra chunky Flash suit so he can break through the Speed Force.
It actually has a Wayne Tech logo on it.
But also, I mean, we know that Superman is at least not in the first act of Justice League.
Right.
Like, probably not even in the second act. And I wonder if we're going to get like a Superman like Spock in Star Trek The Voyage Home, where he just wears his robes the whole movie and he never gets in his uniform until Star Trek 5.
I'm guessing long hair, beard, and a black suit. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah,
that's what it has to be.
I mean, look, if you're laying in a coffin for a little while, you're going to grow some facial hair, perhaps.
You know, they referenced the coffin, the black suit, in the coffin.
They do.
The coffin was black with the silver, which is
it's going to be interesting.
And we're obviously not going to see him for the majority of the film, either.
Or we could have it thrown for a loop and we get the ending to the movie before we even see the full movie.
Well, speaking of Justice League, there are rumors spreading this week that maybe something might be happening at Comic-Con with Justice League, because Jared Leto was spotted at LAX. The question is, was he going to London? So people are saying, is Joker going to make an appearance in Justice League? Which also led to speculation about, maybe they'll do something at Comic-Con too.
So wait, because he was at LAX, they were suspecting where he might be going? Was it the international term?
I don't know.
That's a very...
I hate stuff like that. Real quick, back to the Ultimate Cut. We got Green Lantern. Dan Amboyer, they kept saying he was Green Lantern. He was the drone pilot that just is locking on. That one shot.
That's the guy
that was like, I'm Green Lantern.
No. But did you see what he was talking about in the end? He goes, #GreenLight. you see one of the planes fly away, and it goes straight up green.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That guy played social media.
Do we know that he wasn't Hal Jordan? No, I'm asking you seriously.
Come on. Oh, that's a meme, right? That's why? Mikey's face is a GIF right there.
Honest question. How do we know?
I don't know.
Did he get blown up?
No,
did he have a name?
He might have a patch that says Jordan on it.
Okay, so fair question.
But
why you give me the look?
Because I do not think that I'm gonna. You know what? The next time I'm on a
someone make a GIF out of Mikey Christmas's face when he gave Adam that look.
I'm on a set somewhere. I'm with perfect. A trailer and a makeup trailer. I'm going to start a rumor that I'm being cast in a DC movie,
and we'll see
how far it goes.
Dude, it'll go very far.
And I will eat crow 5 years from now if Dan Amboyer is Green Lantern Corps Hal Jordan. I'll eat it and I'll say I was totally wrong, buddy. But
I'm not saying it necessarily is, but if it's ambiguous,
it's not ambiguous at all. They don't say Captain Jordan. Are we locked on target? Nothing like that. He's just like firing away.
I was half expecting to hear Gardner.
But is he a big enough actor that like it's weird that he has such a small part?
Did the same thing with Jenna Malone. She's a very high profile actress.
She's Snyder's friend.
Sure.
Like
sure.
She's been in his movies. Yes. That's Snyder's friend.
Also, J.K. Simmons was asked this week if he got in amazing shape for the role of Commissioner Gordon. Oh. He said, "I'm not going to the gym for Justice League. It's coincidental. I was super fat and out of shape."
Yeah, and he even said, like, that was taken awesome. In April. I'm huge now. He was like joking, you know. So yeah. So
that's right. I'm throwing shade.
So, again, this is a good example of why when everybody was piling on Zack Snyder, you know, myself included, that even a picture of J.K. Simmons working out led to Zack Snyder hate.
Yeah.
Because when there's a list of things, because they were like, screw him, everyone needs to be jacked in a Snyder film. Like, that was the reaction of some extreme fans.
That's awesome.
It's true, though. But, you know, it's just kind of funny how, like, how the pile-on happens. And, like, there's no perfect movie. I guess my point is, there is no perfect movie.
No.
But if it's good, you forgive things. And if it's not, you shit on everything.
Pretty much.
You know, like, people wanted to love The Force Awakens, and for the most part, they love it. But everybody will say, like, yeah, there's a lot of problems.
Oh, I know people that point so many holes in The Force Awakens. And when I watched it, I don't watch it that strict of an eye. I'm like, I liked it.
I wanted to have a good time, and I did. Yeah. I was excited that there was an event happening, that people were lining up to go to a movie at 3 a.m, and that really put me in a good place to like that movie.
Like, sure, there were weird parts, like when they tried to escape, they just happened to run into the evil woman, whatever the hell her name was. Like, what are the odds of that? But I mean, the things that you don't really want to point holes in, whatever.
Yeah.
Ezra Miller this week was asked about what The Flash is going to bring to the universe. His quote is, "He brings new energy. Batman has to be kind of bummed out because his parents died and Superman is already established as a serious person and Wonder Woman's angry about stuff." How old is Ezra Miller? Is he 13? He goes, "Stuff's happening, but then you've got a guy who's like, eh, whatever, I run fast."
So,
there you go.
It's just a little levity to the proceedings.
The thing that kills me about this is the DC Universe on TV has made this amazing image of what Barry Allen should be.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're completely turning it around. Barry Allen in the comics is straightforward. To that effect,
I don't think Grant Gustin plays the classic Barry Allen.
I don't think he does either.
That's what he's saying. I think that's what he's saying.
But I'm saying to the point, Ezra is turning it more of a Wally West character and making it more comedy.
It definitely feels that way.
Was it you or... We were talking to someone this week that, like, just make him Wally West.
Wally is such a more in-depth character than Barry is because... I mean, obviously, Barry gets his speed from, you know, his mother being killed as a child and being struck by lightning by Eobard. But, you know, it's interesting.
So do you think that that's not going to be his origin in this? That he's not going to have the mother killed? Because that's
I actually think his mother will be killed. I think Eobard Thawne will be a professor at a college or something that Ezra will run into or have to get information for, because he's going to be a CSI in this movie as well.
Yeah.
You know, this is the problem, though, with DC in general, is, like, if you go back, DC was before Marvel. Most of these characters were just from a different age, so...
Yep. And Jack Kirby was Marvel and DC at the same time for a while.
Yes, but I just mean from, like, the point of view of characters having more human, relatable personalities really came later, with Stan Lee and everybody and things like that, when really, you know, in the beginning, The Flash was very straight ahead, the Jay Garrick, I mean, everybody was just this archetype, and then it kind of expanded. I think you're going to need that kind of humor, and it makes Batman funny if he's Batman is a great straight man now to Barry. Even in the scenes that have been described,
yeah,
you know, between Bruce Wayne and Barry Allen, it sounds like a lot of fun. I'm kind of contradicting myself a little bit because I guess I'm saying that I don't mind Barry Allen's classic character change for the film, but it does bother me with Lex Luthor. I will call myself on that.
Yeah, that's fair. I agree. I think it should be Wally West.
Yeah. I don't know. My friends and I were talking about it. Just like, why isn't it? It wouldn't really change the story at all, I don't think.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, in the Justice League cartoons, Barry Allen is very lighthearted.
In the cartoons, it's Wally.
Yes. Yeah. Fact check this.
No, it's Wally.
Straight up from the beginning.
Straight up.
Wow. He's like the young kind of horny.
And they hand John Stewart in there as well as the Green Lantern.
This is true.
Yes.
John Stewart, I know, and that's actually how most people are familiar with John Stewart.
Of a certain age.
I did not know that. I need to rewatch. What about when they did Young Justice, though?
Young Justice, though, Impulse went back in time to try to get Barry from killing
Barry
himself.
Barry isn't Young Justice, though.
Yeah, so
Barry
that's
Young Justice. But Wally is Justice League Unlimited.
Yes, and Wally's also.
And Justice League, for that matter.
Wally's also not nearly as serious as Barry Allen, too. So
nor did you guys read the. I just read the Rebirth Flash one.
So
and
good.
Barry is very straight.
Two Kid Flash?
What, Kid Flash what?
There's two of them. Two Kid Flash.
Right, now there's going to be Wally. And then another Wally West that's black, but kind of related. Very wild stuff. Only in comics. I will say, screw you, DC, for not just calling it Flash Rebirth, Wonder Woman Rebirth, and then starting with number ones.
It's tough.
You put the thing there, and then there's a one everywhere. I got doubles. I got variants. I don't know what's going on. I'm triple buying stuff.
The comics is like nine something. I'm like, what's going on here?
That went back to the old numbering, at least.
The numbering's messed up. The comics are great. The numbering is fucking killing me.
Crazy. This is Rebirth Wonder Woman 1. Well, are you thinking of
it's a holiday
Wonder
weekend.
Rebirth
you can get away with it.
Okay.
It's a holiday weekend.
And Mikey's with me on this,
I'm with
everyone.
You on this. We're,
thank
we're,
you.
Well, since this is the first day of July, that means technically we're just over a month away from, Suicide Squad. It's coming, y'all. It's going to be 131 minutes run time.
I'm not worried.
That's a perfect time.
I'm not worried. That's a sweet time.
That's a sweet spot.
It's a dope time.
The theatrical release of BVS, the reshoots, added more comedy. Thank God.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
Oh, that Suicide Squad added more comedy scenes.
This is rumored. You don't have a straight fact on that.
No.
Oh, you know things?
No. This is a fact.
Okay.
They did do reshoots.
Cite a source. We know they did reshoots,
but
it was rumored that they were for comedy, but is that confirmed?
That, I do not know if it is completely
confirmed.
Listen,
we make up facts on this show all the time.
Well, I understand that, but
I
don't want
to... I
don't
want to give the viewers something they don't need.
Yeah, you gotta earn to be able to
talk about that stuff.
You know who thinks Suicide Squad is a beast?
Who?
The director, David Ayer.
Oh, yeah.
He tweeted that it is a beast.
I think David Ayer is a beast.
I will say I enjoy his enthusiasm for this film. Because each time we hear about a film, you know, going back for reshoots, I'm talking like going back to like the Josh Trank stuff, the Suicide Squad stuff, the Gareth Edwards. Because then you get scared for a minute. Like I was with Gareth Edwards with the Star Wars thing. It's like, oh, we're not hearing from him. Are they taking the movie away from this guy?
On Rogue One?
Yeah, on Rogue One.
That was
but now
50% they were redoing,
This was rumors, but now Gareth Edwards is all talking.
Okay,
all
right.
Just coming out and saying this is a beast. I'm nobody. I don't know anything. It could have been humor. It could have changed the film. But to me, nothing says more than having the director so positive about his project, feeling great about it. It's just cut. It's out there. Guys, DC, Warner Brothers, invite these guys to an early screening. We'll get the word out.
Apparently, the testing screenings went fantastic.
There's a press screening this July.
And what I'm really digging, you don't see this very often anymore, is there's music coming out specifically made for the film. We got a brand new
video
that just dropped this week called Sucker for Pain with Lil Weezy, Wiz Khalifa, and Imagine Dragons.
Yes.
It's a dope song.
Are we checking this out?
Skip a little bit ahead, Zach, if you want. Are we going audio video? Let's try.
Audio or video. Somebody just pointed out John Schnapp and Collider Heroes said that Ayer's version won. And it seemed like it was a wink and a nod. Yeah, that was interesting.
So here's Wiz.
Love the Arkham Asylum look.
Dude, right?
So what's up with all the music videos for Suicide Squad?
I love it.
Is that a way to get it out to the kids?
Well, I'm wondering, are we getting new footage with these videos?
I think so. I mean, the Imagine Dragon ones, I think there was.
Johnny's breaking it down right now.
Yeah.
Dude, this song's dope.
It is dope.
And you don't get that much anymore. Like, back in the day when we were kids,
all
you would
time.
Have...
This is such every a throwback to Prince.
Seal. Yeah, every Seal. Major film...
Seal.
I mean, Prince made an entire album, for God's sake. Every major film would have music specifically designed for the movie. You don't get that anymore. So
trivia.
I love the fact that Suicide Squad...
Prince,
this
is, man. Which Marvel movies have had... music videos like this.
Nickelback for Spider-Man, I think. Right?
Okay.
Is that
okay.
For Spider-Man? Right?
Oh, yes.
Wow. Good trivia.
Wait, was it Nickelback or Creed?
Guys.
Ooh.
What? Oh, if it's Creed, then that's a kick in the pants.
I'm about a hero. I don't know how it went.
I want to say Nickelback.
Not a hero.
No, but this is something that DC has done for a long time, Warner Brothers. Is it because Warner Brothers has Warner Brothers music and there's that arm attached and it's just a lot of that internal?
Well, it always scratches the other back, right?
Yeah.
One back scratches the other hand.
I just love the fact, this is not the first music video we've had out, too, when it comes to
Star Trek is doing the same thing. Somebody pointed out Star Trek is doing the same thing.
Rihanna.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell who they're marketing this film to. They want the young adult. They want people to feel like this is the cool film. This is not like capes and primary colors. Yeah.
The vibe of that video gets you amped up. I mean, it really does.
It's kind of deranged, and it kind of... I can't look away.
Yeah.
I'm getting into my really excited time, but I have to say... Chad Kroeger, Spidey 1.
There you go, boom.
Oh.
That's what we're getting.
Kroeger.
Boom, town.
That's
moving
what the,
on.
The voice of Zoom is telling us.
That's I right. Lego Batman apparently is going to be a 90-minute film full of Easter eggs because Chris McKay is such a massive DC fan. He said it's going to heavily honor the comics, and it goes all the way up through BVS. So basically, it's going to reference comics all the way from back in the day, all the way to today. So,
are you sad about this? How do you feel? You don't care?
I'm not a Lego guy.
Okay.
The games, the movies. I like Lego Movie and the Batman, and that was
fun.
Did
you see the Lego Movie like in a theater?
Yeah,
or
I did.
You
yeah.
Later?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did
I,
you like
I,
it?
I enjoyed the heck out
did
of it.
Did you feel weird being a grown up male without a family?
But I never played as Legos as a kid. It just wasn't my thing. So I tried to play the video games, trying to play for about 2 minutes. I'm like, okay, this is terrible.
Oh, Switchfoot did a song for Spider-Man 2.
But
okay, so Marvel's
but hey,
got something.
You know, it's another Batman film out there. So
you know what? I really loved the Lego Movie in the theater. Like, I was laughing out loud.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was on some crazy
Will,
drugs or what was
Will
going
Arnett?
On, but
Will
I was
Arnett,
loving
is that his
it.
Name right?
Yes.
I'm not a fan of Will Arnett.
I was on Arrested Development for sure.
I could listen to him all day on Arrested, but listening to him as Batman just annoys me.
Weird.
I don't know.
Where are you?
This news
Where's
excites
my car?
Me. I will say, I like the idea of trying to catch all these deep comic references. Does that?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, now, between the last Lego Movie and, say, Wreck-It Ralph, I'm still Wreck-It Ralph all day. But I think the Lego Batman's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. I can't wait. It's going to be... And I love the fact that it's going to even poke fun of Batman v Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Just the fact that you let that happen, you know? Just get it out there.
Yeah.
I love it. I am a Marvel spy.
Now,
I'm a Marvel fan. Listen, I'm not hiding that fact.
Here's something.
I'm bi.
Here's something interesting. Karen Fukuhara, I think I said that right, she actually posed for Playboy this week, but... Here's
Ooh.
The thing.
Well, you know... Oh. Sucks that it wasn't 8 months ago.
Playboy is no longer
yeah,
nude.
So,
yeah. But she looked beautiful nonetheless, and she said she's actually very young. She's born in like 92.
When you hear that, because Playboy means what it means, but you're like, oh wait, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, they
anymore.
Changed everything.
It's like, okay, whatever.
But her quote is, as a first generation Japanese American, I've always wanted to play a samurai warrior like Katana. Samurai are almost always male. It's been a long week. And so growing up in America, I had a hard time figuring out role models. So she's pretty stoked. I didn't realize she was so young. She's like 24.
It's her first big movie role, too.
Yeah. She had no credits. I looked at her IMDb. She had like nothing.
Good
so probably
her.
Not going to have
Good
a huge
part.
How did that happen?
Oh, you know what? It's not that there's a huge part. I bet it's not going to have a lot of lines. The
no.
way it was described,
no.
she seems like she's got like the silent enforcer.
Katana is a mute character for the most part.
Oh, really?
So she doesn't really speak unless she's about to kill.
Oh, she lets her like soul-sucking sword do
That's
all the all talking?
Right. That's
all right.
Yeah, she is going to be kind of like the silent enforcer
yeah.
to Rick Flag, it seems
of
like.
Of course.
So that's kind of cool. Oh, who do you think Scott Eastwood's playing? Nightwing?
I'm going to tell you right now, he's either Agent 17,
okay.
which is Dick Grayson when he
okay.
goes
From
away.
Spiral?
Yep. Or Deathstroke.
Or what?
I think he's just too down for Deathstroke. I want Dick Grayson to happen.
Or is it going
to
be like another Dan Embroyer? Or is it going to be nothing?
No, he's not saying this.
That's what makes me think.
We've seen the fan art to make him look like Nightwing, and he would be an exception.
Nobody's talking
once.
About him in this film right now, which makes me suspicious he might be a surprise. Like he's not in any promotional material.
Is he a Jenna Malone character where he's just like, he's a well-known actor that want to get...
Chat roll! You settle this right
and
now.
No
I would
one.
Hate
Is this a red herring, or is Scott Eastwood someone
like
really
Agent,
big?
Agent Tanner. just some random
agent. Is that what his name is?
Oh, who knows? I'm just saying. Okay, got what if that's what he's like?
I just think it would be so sick if at some point we just see Nightwing bust out and just like take down
the Suicide Squad. No, not even that. Just at the end of the movie, he meets with Bruce and he's just like, okay, this is what happened.
Omar.
Or even better, we just hear at the end of it, Grayson, get over here.
I know he's in Pacific Rim 2. Which
he's
is
in
cool.
Talks. He's in talks.
He's in talks. He's not
signed it.
Which means
he's probably going to be in.
Omar in chat roll says he's Arsenal, yo. I'm calling it.
You know what?
Nah.
No.
Roy Harper?
No. Because number one, he'd be missing an arm by now. Because
then we don't have Green Arrow
established
yet.
Bernholtz can't even say who he is either. So it's just a lot of mystery. I think that's what they tell everyone, that you can't say what
you
say. You
can't say who you are.
So
you know,
you're right.
It could be a Cadmus guy. A Cadmus mistake or something.
We don't know. We'll see.
You know, we're just going to skip
like
over...
He looks like a superhero, though. That guy, I mean, he's got the looks for a superhero.
He does.
Does anybody think Jared Leto's Joker is Jason Todd?
We've talked about this on the show, but I'm against it.
I'm against it completely.
100%.
Do you think it is possible?
Yes. Yeah. Anything's possible with this because of the one line in the Ultimate Edition that was not there before.
What's that?
How many stayed good in Gotham?
No, that was always there.
Was it?
But that's the line that we've always talked about.
Got it.
How many stayed that way?
Follow-up question. Do you think Jared Leto was on a plane to the French Riviera for his family vacation right now?
Absolutely not.
Because he's going to film Justice League.
He was at an airport. Yeah.
He was in the turret. He was there.
The line was, how many good guys are still in Gotham? How many stayed that way, I think, is what you're talking about?
Which is exactly when... I mean, we've talked about that on this show before, which is what I say is the single greatest support. Because, and then other people on Twitter and everyone said he could be talking about Harvey Dent.
Yeah,
but
true. But that's not in this world.
It's not in this world yet, so I don't know.
But
Robin is in this world.
But there's 20 years of stuff that we don't know about.
True, but listen,
hey,
have seen Robin.
Guys,
and we haven't seen this. Okay, sorry.
Emilio Sanchez says he has an Arsenal tattoo. I don't know how you know that, but
Jared Leto does?
He has a Marine
tattoo. Does that mean that Jared Leto is actually Arsenal?
Scott Eastwood. Scott Eastwood.
Oh, Scott Eastwood does.
And he has a 3-picture deal.
Well, that's pretty standard, right?
No. I mean, yeah, with these guys.
I mean, you know they're going to do a Suicide Squad too.
But,
okay, people are getting mad. People are getting really mad. Stop it with the Joker is Todd BS. All right, calm down, Casey. Stop whining at us. All right, real quick. Batman Return to Arkham has been delayed indefinitely. It was supposed to be July 26th. They haven't given a reason for it, so that's a bummer. And we're going to skip past the fact that Marvel took a shot at DC in the Spider-Man Deadpool issue 6. Whatever,
listen,
suck it.
We don't need to skip past that. I think that's funny.
It is
they
funny.
Do that all the time. Like,
it's pretty
we take
funny.
Shots
Nighthawk,
at each other.
Nighthawk,
Hyperion, Yawn of Boredom.
That was beautiful.
It was funny.
Yeah.
It gets the distinguished competition. Listen, I think they can take shots at each other. I don't like to see fans getting vicious and violent with each other online. Like, I'd rather see that vitriol, you know, go toward like people like Donald Trump and stuff, rather than people that are just like, you know, fans of the other kind of comic book.
Yes.
You know, or cereal that you like, you know?
Emilio says in the trailer you see the Arsenal tattoo on Scott Eastwood's arm. Jesus.
It's a Marines tattoo on his arm.
Yeah.
Could be a Harvey Dent Easter egg. Yes, could be. But we'll see. Sorry.
There we go. Now it's time for
Is it?
Does Mikey have to leave?
Mikey's gonna. I got
it's
a pizza.
Time for Mikey time is leaving now.
Mikey's gonna seem like I wanna leave Roxy.
Mikey's gotta take off, but it's TV time. Roxy Stryer's back in Boston, Massachusetts.
Wow. How funny that the one time that the guy who wrote that song for us is in the live chat right now, you made up your own words to it.
Yeah.
Where is he?
Perfect. He was in there. Say hi.
Matt?
There.
Matt Vollmar was in there?
Yes.
Matt, where you been, buddy? You're usually pretty vocal and stuff on Twitter and Instagram. Where you been, man? I hope you're doing well.
Yeah.
So is he up there?
I don't know. I
hope he's up there. But I got to peace out, fellas. I got a thing that I have to take care of.
Mikey,
what I'm going to do is audition
slay.
For a pilot role on CW named Bal Horton. So,
he's going.
Let Speed Force be with you.
Thank you, guys.
Find him on Twitter at Mike Kalinowski, everyone.
A pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
Boys,
to the next time.
Boys.
Yep.
Boys.
Have a great holiday.
Gentlemen.
America.
Yes.
America.
Or Hillary Clinton, if that's who you hate. All I'm saying is, save it for something that matters.
Well, what does matter is that Preacher got renewed for a second season, so hooray on that.
It is so weird.
You know,
it's great.
It's
do you
great.
Like it? Are you a fan of it?
I am.
I like it. I'm not completely into it yet. I've only seen
two
episodes.
Have you read the show? See, I centered myself up so nicely.
Good job.
There you go.
Listen, somebody just asked me about this on Twitter today. I'm enjoying the show a lot.
Yeah.
I even like the last episode, but it is a slower burn.
But here's the thing, and I remember we talked about this last week. Here's the reasoning. The fact that people are complaining, Preacher's too slow. It's a Western.
Yeah.
Westerns are meant to be slow. Do you watch John Wayne movies from back in the day? They're very slow. They're methodical. They tell a story. That's what Preacher is.
Speaking of Western, there was a straight up Western in this week's episode. Oh, I love the Santa Killer stuff.
And they stayed true to it. Westerns are slower, so just enjoy it.
I like all the cast. Mm-hmm. It's just, I haven't read the comic in a long time. So I don't know. But in my memory, it was like every issue seemed like it was bug nuts. All this stuff was happening. Yep. And the whole thing wraps up in like 70. Oh, thank you. Somebody's giving me staging advice on there.
That's great.
But I mean, I like it. I'm really glad it got the second season. So, yeah. You know, I don't know what the general public is thinking of it, though. I'll tell you who I'm loving on it, though, is that Rorschach. That dude, Jackie Earle Haley.
He's a great actor.
He's a great actor. So great that he had such a great second act.
Didn't
that he was this kid
win a Golden
actor.
Globe or something? Didn't he?
That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm loving Ruth Negga, man. She's
awesome.
Fantastic.
But even that character is totally different than the comics, which is great. She's more empowered. Like, well, I remember he's more into her in the comics.
They said when she read for the role, she just blew everyone else away.
And she was with Cassidy last. It was good.
And poor kid that played the character Arsface, man, you just really feel for him. Like when he's sitting at the table and his dad gets all pissed off and flings the food.
Arsface,
maybe
is
you should have killed yourself.
Role. Oh God, oh,
it's so that like
crushes you.
Because as a kid who's ever been picked on or been left out of things, it just you go back to that moment to where you're like, oh man,
you're right.
That really hurts.
I guess I really am enjoying it. And you know what? If it is a little different, I'm enjoying that, you know, because I get to enjoy a new thing and it doesn't have to slavishly be exactly what I remember. But I just remember them being on the road in a different location every episode. And this is settled in the town. So I guess part of me keeps waiting for them to leave and get together. But the band isn't really together yet. And I don't know if it ever is because I don't know if that's where they're going. But anyway, what other TV
very
time
exciting. Flash season 3 is adding Harry Potter's Tom Felton as a character.
As a CSI.
Just as a CSI?
Yep.
So he's going to be like
basically,
what Barry does?
I don't know. See, they have teased, or Grant Gustin has teased, that season 3's Big Bad might not be a metahuman. So maybe it's this new CSI. Maybe he doesn't.
Do you think that the whole season is going to be very like sort of alternate reality because of Flashpoint? Or do you think it's just going to be a limited amount of time?
I bet you Flashpoint will be the first two episodes of the season.
Okay.
And Barry's going to have to chase himself through the Speed Force and stop him from going back in time. Then it will revert back to the season.
At this point, how many Barrys are going
to
be circulating? It's like
so far, we've had season 1 on an alternate timeline. Season 2 crosses into Earth 2. And then, and Earth 3, mind you, because of Jay Garrick.
Yeah.
And now you got season 3 that's going to have the original timeline that The Flash was supposed to be on. The Flash wasn't supposed to be The Flash until 2020 in this.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes. Huh. So now, The Flash...
Oh, is that true? In the first timeline, he's the older Flash, he happens later?
So, the original timeline, before Eobard, before Eobard goes back...
Mm-hmm.
That timeline, Barry becomes the Flash in 2020 because of Harrison Wells' experiment going wrong.
Right.
Eobard speeded it up by 15 years.
Right.
By killing his mom and going back.
Right.
Because it was the only way he can get home.
Excellent. This show needs a primer. Travel. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Very good.
No, it's a fun show.
It is.
It's a great show. Can't wait for it to come back.
It's going
to
be solid. Carly Pope. Go ahead.
Oh, do you think he may be Godspeed, though?
I don't know the character Godspeed.
Okay, so Godspeed in Rebirth is... So what happened in Rebirth is a Speed Force storm happens in Central City and Barry has to train new speedsters.
Is this in 1?
This is in New 52.
Oh, this is New 52. Okay, because I read Rebirth Flash, but not Flash Rebirth number 1. Screw you, DC, and your numbering system.
Awful. Just
okay, because the one I read basically summed up what happened in Rebirth.
Yes.
Expands.
Yeah, I think Rebirth number 1 counts as 0, and then everyone after that is 1, 2, 3, 4.
Then put a freaking 0 on it. I mean, they do that all the time.
But Godspeed is one of these speedsters that he trains and basically goes worse than Zoom.
I mean, he looks just by the look of him, he looks like he's going
to
be some evil mofo.
He
has and if he's
to
CSI,
be.
It looks like they're going to have a similar job. There's going to be rivalry.
Or
and
he's
then...
just going to be another Eddie character. Useless.
You think so?
I wouldn't hold it past them. They gave us a whole season.
I think
season
you're right.
I
feel like he looks like he's
going to
be
nothing.
He looks like he'll. But you said they were teasing that you think that they're going to go non-metahuman, like not another speedster.
I think he. You know what? Best guess. Dr. Alchemy.
Okay.
Some people are saying that in chat roll as well.
Now, who was he in the Harry Potter world?
Draco Malfoy.
Okay. And that was a good guy?
Nope.
He was bad. He looks evil.
He looked evil. Yeah.
Wasn't he one of the heads of the bad guy Slytherin house or something?
I'm a Potter virgin.
I am not a Potter.
I don't know much about Potter.
I mean, I've never read a book or seen a movie or anything.
I've seen one movie, and yeah. I liked it.
Okay, but
just
I know.
Entertaining.
Anyway, moving on. Carly Pope is cast on Arrow for the next season. She's going to play Susan Williams, a reporter from the Coast City, which is Hal Jordan's hometown.
That's interesting because she originally had a.
She was on the WB back in the day, I think.
Yeah, she was, and then she.
Where was she on? I forget. I don't know.
But
long time working
Susan
actress.
Susan Williams originally had a. Relationship with Hal Jordan.
Okay.
So, yes. So does this mean we finally get to see Hal Jordan in
Arrow? Well, there have been some hints.
We have seen the Jordan jacket in the bar from one of the flashbacks, but yet we have not seen Hal Jordan.
So it seems like you're going to be introduced to something lanterning. I wonder if they're just kind of stretching it out until WB figures out what they're doing with the movie, or at least comes up with their plan.
Yeah.
The
Flash even goes to Ferris Air, which is destroyed.
Yeah.
And they talk about one of their pilots disappeared.
Yeah. So she's going to be on Arrow.
Yes.
So possible new love interest?
Probably.
Because she looked fine.
Yep.
Well, yeah, somebody just, wowzers, she's hot.
Yeah, she is.
That's an accurate assessment.
Beautiful, long-time working actress. And now, to close out on something everyone's more than excited for, the new NBC sitcom, Powerless.
Oh, yes!
Yeah. Well, apparently, nothing big here. They said, you know, obviously we already see Crimson Fox in the pilot, but apparently Jack-O-Lantern is also going to make an appearance, is what they say.
Really?
Jack-O-Lantern.
I'm not that familiar.
The question is, you know, what episode?
That's a character that almost looks like the exact same thing to its Marvel analogous.
My question is, what episode? Because I don't know.
Is there an exact same character in Marvel that looks exactly like that?
Isn't this...
It's like another goblin-y character that's Jack-O-Lantern, right? Yeah, guys, chat roll, am I wrong?
Isn't a Spider-Man character?
What about
a
in the booth? Zach, you know, you're a Marvel zombie. There's totally like another goblin character that looks like that. All right, so.
I don't know.
It's
either
not the
way.
Hobgoblin.
I still don't have too much confidence in Powerless lasting very long.
But
we'll see.
I don't see the point in making an office like show.
The trailer was painful.
It was awful.
I think it's going to be Dog Duty. That's my personal opinion. But listen, I hope to be proved wrong. But my prediction is the duty of a dog.
There it is.
That's what I'm saying now.
Well, that's a way to end it. Make sure you follow Roxy Stryer at Roxy Stryer. Follow Mike Kalinowski at Mike Kalinowski. Adam Gertler, go.
Hey, I'm Adam Gertler. New episodes of Man vs. Child are on FYI channel for the next rest of summer, I would say. On FYI, check your local listings and cable and all that stuff. The movie Sausage Party is coming out. I believe it's August 12th. For the month of July and August, to commemorate this sausage-themed fun movie with Seth Rogen and a cast of characters, Doghouse is premiering The Naughty Dog. It's a limited time only. So if you're in the California area or somewhere where there's a doghouse, go to doghouse.com to check that out and try our summer special. We partnered with Chef Elon Hall from Top Chef to come up with it. And it's got my kielbasa, and it's pretty awesome.
That's amazing.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Adam Sloan.
You guys can reach me at Adam J. Sloan, my Twitter handle, and also at The Speed Zone on iTunes. Talking about The Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, Supergirl, and Gotham.
Excellent. Well, we'll have to have you back on this show, too, since you seem to know your stuff.
Absolutely. I am at Jay Quasto, jlocomedy.com. The Wrestling Compadres Slamcast made our official debut on Fox Sports this week, and I'd say it was a pretty good success.
Oh, the show was so much fun. Great energy. And love to have you back every week.
Yes, very, very excited. So I know we have a lot of crossover fans. You could follow us now at Fox Compadres. It's our brand new Twitter. Our brand new Facebook is facebook.com/FoxCompadres. And other than that, jlocomedy.com. We had a great charity show this week for the Regular Hero Foundation at the Hollywood Improv. Raised a couple of $1,000. Our next one's going to be Thursday, July 28th at the Comedy Store. If you're in LA, make sure you save your date for that one. Other than that, guys, we have a live read. We got to talk about that right now before we go. Don't go anywhere. Here's the deal. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everybody. Join in if you like. They do this by, it's all about having a more, yes, Adam.
Listen, I will say this. I got Blue Apron for my brother and his wife. They're not cooks. I'm obviously a chef. I love to cook. I've got Blue Apron. It's awesome.
It's great,
a great
right?
way to learn to cook.
Yeah.
The food is delicious. The recipes are innovative. You save money because they only send you the ingredients you need.
Yes.
So if you look up a recipe online, you have to buy whole amounts of everything and you end up spending, you know, like $75 to make dinner for two. But with Blue Apron, the meals come in at an average of under $10. I'm not even looking at the live read.
No.
I'm just such a fan of this.
Everything's healthy, yeah.
And there are creative recipes, and you can go online and like they'll send you a bunch of meals in a week, and then by the end of it, like you can cook.
And everything's healthy. The seafood is from the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Beef is raised humanely. Chickens are free range. Pork is raised naturally.
Yeah.
Just very, very good stuff here. They have a bunch of great meals in June available. Creamy shrimp fettuccine,
ooh,
sweet chili chicken, spiced steak
stop
and tomato,
it.
Avocado salad with creamy
ooh.
Cone, cabbage, and red onion slaw. Come on now. Not all ingredients are created equal, just like Adam Gertler says. For less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron will deliver a seasonal recipe along with pre-portioned ingredients to make exactly what you need. That's delicious.
Yes.
That's good for you. You can live healthy
yeah.
and also eat well. So new recipes created every single week. It's very
it
flexible.
Is.
Each meal comes step by step. If you're not a good cook like Adam is, you can do it on your own. And you can be
proud
of
yourself.
In the
chat room, the party pooper tried it, and he says it is legit awesome. It really, really is.
There
it's,
you
it's
go.
Amazing.
It's real simple. Go to blueapron.com/movie news. All right, simple as that. You get the first three meals free. So go to blueapron.com/movie news.
What is that you just said?
blueapron.com/movie news.
And three free meals?
Three free meals, bro.
If everybody listening, everybody doesn't do that, you're crazy stupid.
With free shipping.
Not even crazy stupid love. You're crazy stupid.
Yeah, so with that said, blueapron.com/movie news. We are at DC Movies SK. Facebook.com/DC Movies SK. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.
I promise you, the dawn is coming.